A lesson from the Psalter. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. For the Lord, the Most High, is awesome, a great king over all the earth. He subdued peoples under us and nations under our feet. He chose our heritage for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loves. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a psalm. God is King over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the peoples gather as the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted.
From the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles. So when the disciples had come together, they asked Jesus, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. The word of the Lord. In the wisdom of the Christian year, Easter is not just a day, but a season of 50 days in which we are invited to absorb the good news of resurrection over a period of time. The testimony of the Gospels is that after Jesus was raised from the dead, he appeared to the disciples not only on Easter morning, but also afterward for breakfast on the beach, along the Emmaus Road, and in the breaking of the bread, on the mountain where he commissioned them to go into the world making disciples, baptizing in his name, teaching his commandments to love God and love neighbor. During these Eastertide appearances, Jesus was fulfilling the promise he made to his friends that they would not be left alone. He had shown up after the crucifixion, like he said he would. But the time for the post-resurrection appearances ultimately does come to an end. The very last sighting of the risen Christ recorded by Luke includes the ascension we hear today. So important was this moment to Luke that he both closes his gospel and opens the Acts of the Apostles with an account of it. Jesus' final words of blessing and a most mysterious scene as Jesus is taken up into heaven. Our scripture reading from Acts shows Jesus slipping through the embrace of those who loved and knew him best for the last time. Jesus had told them to wait for the gift of the Spirit, which was coming soon, but their question pushed for more information. Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? That was the question on everyone's mind. The risen Christ gave two responses. First, he said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons. Secondly, he promised, but you will receive power. to be my witnesses in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Then the post-resurrection Jesus, who had appeared among his disciples for weeks, disappeared for good. One moment he was there with them, talking to them in person, the familiarity of his voice ringing in their ears. The next moment, his well-known hand was raised in final blessing and goodbye, his face swallowed up in the light of the sun as their upturned eyes squint after him, his feet wrapped in the clouds which carry him away. His risen bodily presence was no longer there for them, no longer present, but a thing of the past, a mere memory that we presume would linger with them until the end of their days. The ascension of the Lord is the day the visible Christ became absent. It is the culmination of Jesus' continued leave-taking since Easter, and it gives way to a time of waiting for the gift of the Spirit at Pentecost. What we remember and celebrate over and over again during the season of Easter is that death is not the end. The ascension serves as a kind of exclamation mark in the last days of Eastertide that the physical absence of Jesus does not bring an end to the sense of his presence. Indeed, it enlarges it. The risen Christ, who had a small following in and around Jerusalem, ascends to become Lord of all creation. The one who was bodily present to a few leaves them in order to be spiritually present everywhere. Barbara Brown Taylor wrote about the ascension. Sometimes I think absence is underrated. It is not nothing. After all, it is something, a heightened awareness, a sharpened appetite, a finer perception. When someone important to me is absent from me, I become clearer than ever what that person means to me. Details that got lost in our togetherness are recalled in our apartness, and their sudden clarity has the power to pry my heart right open. I see virtues I have overlooked, she goes on, the opportunities I missed, the quirks that drove me crazy at close range become enduring at a distance. From that large perspective, I can see that they are the very things that make my someone, someone, and not just anyone. Many of us can resonate with Taylor's words, particularly after we, like those disciples, have lost someone very dear to us. Had there been no meaningful presence, there would be no sense of absence and longing. There is a loss when another disappears, to be sure, but there also can be, oddly enough, a sort of absent presence. It can be an experience that is nearly impossible to put into words. And I have few words to describe this from my own life or the stories I've heard others tell, other than to say that it is what I have come to know as an experience of resurrection. My mother, who died many years ago, for example, can no longer be reached at the far end of a phone call or seen on a trip to my hometown. But I am aware of her presence. I'm aware of her presence when the irises bloom in the yard, or the certain smell of something cooking wafts from the oven. Or I find myself saying something that sounds so much like something she would have said. I said something like that yesterday, and my husband looked at me and said, "You are your mother." Or I see a tiny glimpse of her and one of her grandchildren. Or these days I imagine her yelling at the television at the indecency and vile language of our current time. Robert McAfee Brown, distinguished theologian, once shared similar thoughts about how he felt after his beloved colleague and mentor on the faculty of Union Theological Seminary in New York, his name was David Roberts, after he died, McAfee Brown said, "I believe in the communion of the saints. This, more than anything else, has taken away the sting of David's death, insofar as that is possible. The occasional sense of communion I had with David in his former life has been replaced by an almost piercing sense of his nearness in his new life. The fact that we're no longer related at particular points in time somehow means now that we can be related at every point, at all times. I used to be conscious of him in his office or his classroom or where he sat in chapel. Now I am conscious of him in my office and my classroom and where I sit in chapel." He goes on to say, "I do not mean this by any ghostly sense. I lay claim to no visions. I mean that my relationship with David has incredible new dimensions. I have this strange and wonderful feeling that I get to know him better each day, and that far from his death diminishing his influence over my life, his death means that his true and lasting influence has just begun." When Jesus was swept up in that cloud, the true and lasting influence of Jesus had just begun. Those disciples came to understand that their relationship with him was not over and done with once and for all. Rather, it took on a whole new dimension. When he was no longer the visible, tangible presence they had come to depend on, suddenly he was alive in and through them, empowering them to venture forward in faith and discipleship and bring about that long-awaited kingdom of God. His absence left space in their hearts and room in their lives that could be filled up with something no less wonderful. Those angel messengers were saying to Jesus' disciples as they watched the soles of his feet rise into the sky above their heads that his absent presence was all that they needed to live out their lives of faith and hope and to carry the message of his love, his mercy, his justice and peace to the world. Jesus would never be with them again as they had experienced him on earth. Their personal encounters of him had come to an end. But that did not mean he was no longer with them. Even in his apparent absence, he was present in an altogether new and wonderful way, not only for them, but for us as well. Because it wasn't until Jesus was absolutely gone that there was room for the Spirit to fill up the people and set them on fire for being the church. When you read the Bible and see what happened, you realize it was not until after Jesus had ascended that his listeners became preachers. His converts became missionaries. The healed became healers. And the ones who had been fed by his hand began distributing food. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, the body of Christ takes up space on the earth. A truth, a doctrine, or a religion needs no space for themselves. They are disembodied entities, that is all. But the incarnate Christ needs not only ears or hearts, but living people who will follow after him. You see, with the ascension, we ourselves become that body. The body of Christ. When we can cling to Jesus no longer, our hands are freed to do his work. Our minds can be intent on spreading his justice. And amid all kinds of danger, our hearts are opened to bring about his brave peace. By his absence from those first few disciples, suddenly his presence became available everywhere. Wherever two or more are gathered in his name, and his witnesses began to take the good news of his life, death, and resurrection to the far ends of the earth. When those disciples stopped looking up into the heavens where Jesus had disappeared, after a while, they had no choice but to lower their gaze and to start looking around, to look into the eyes of one another, to look into the needs of the hurting world, to look into the faces of those who had not heard anything about Jesus and to tell them what they had seen and heard. Jesus told them, and today he tells us, to live in the hope that the full reign of God will come in due time. But in the meantime, we are filled and surrounded by and empowered by his absent presence. Amen.